I've asked the team to take some time, and we thought it important to share. I've asked them to pray and get a sensing from God, just a memory, an instance of something that God spoke or did, or what was what impressed upon them in the group, because it's important for us to hear that. Some of you have been there, you're interested in hearing what's going on, and some of you have not been and will be, and in their testimony, he may speak to your heart and say, go. And it's just a general encouragement, the testimony of the believers building us up. So, start with Emily. There you go, you reached out. The Siegel family, Emily, share with us.
What are we doing?
You're going to share for approximately 30 seconds, because then your mom's going to share.
Okay. I went to Guatemala. And
first time.
Yeah, my first time. It was really cool, and yeah. I learned a lot, and it makes you appreciate what you have in the United States. And I learned how greedy we are, and that we take a lot of stuff for granted. And the kids there are, like, happy if they get a stuffed animal. Like, there was a little boy who got a pink stuffed animal, and he was smiling so much. And, like, you picture, like, a little seven-year-old, you give a pink bear, they'd be like, ew, like, they're so grateful. So, I learned a lot there. And then, I'm trying to think of a funny moment. I don't know what all Steve told you.
That's good. How about your mom and dad?
Yeah,
it's great.
And she got the pants, too.
Yeah, those are pants. Yeah, you have to look at those.
Good job. The thing that impressed me when we were down there is how humble these people really are. And they don't need a lot to make them happy. And, you know, there's a sense of communion that we don't have here, you know. Down there, it's like if they have something, they share it. Here, it's like we're all individuals, and we work, we go home, and they're just very humble, kind-hearted, loving people. You can just see God in them when you're there. And so I took that home, and, you know, the team was great to be with. When you're here every Sunday and you see people for 2 hours, not like living with these people for the whole week. You get to see everything. And I took that home, too. I miss them all. I mean, I learned a lot about them, and we had a lot of fun. Went out to eat a lot. So
it was, as you know, our first time there as a family, and I was just so honored that we could go there as a family. I wish there was some type of fund. Maybe we can start it in the church where we can all put a little bit aside so more families can go, because it really makes a huge difference. And I'm a naturally emotional person anyway, but I cried a lot there. The very first day, we were all in the feeding center. That's where they had all of us working there. And there were people from many different states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Texas, Pennsylvania, of course. And we were all sitting in there, and the kids start coming in so that we could meet all of them. And they were lining up front. And this one little girl, she was probably 4, she made eye contact with me. And she came, like, running and jumping over the seats and just climbed on my lap and just held on to me. And I just mm-hmm. cried. I just lost it. It was just so overwhelming, so emotional. Here was a little girl I never saw before in my life. And she just sensed something, and it was... it was really cool. Mm-hmm. So they definitely take your heart. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard to come back here, and it's still hard to be back here, I think. Mm-hmm. So we will be going back, I'm sure. It's great.
It's great. Sandy.
I shared a little bit last year about the testimonies and what they meant to me. And this year I shared with the team that for some reason, when the testimonies came forth,
it's when the It's when the children, the kids that have been there at Ivan's orphanage, they kind of share their life story and their testimony of what God's done. And
it just touched me in a much deeper way. Mm-hmm. And not sure what God's going to do with that. You know, I'm sure he has something in mind. But one thing that really touched me, too, was when we went down in the village with Joe and Rick and a couple of the girls to take pictures, there were 2 twin boys about this big. I can't tell you how old they were. Couldn't speak a lick of English. And they wanted candy. That's what they were used to from us. And I said, we don't have it today. mañana, meaning tomorrow, were coming back with the candy. Until we came back, they learned to say thank you. And that was just awesome to me. Yeah.
Chris.
I had the privilege of going with Carol Miller to another little feeding station in Santa Maria. So on Wednesday, her and I took off, split up from the rest of the team, and we went into this little village. And the village has taken on, in the church there, the kids who went to church on Sunday could come for food on Wednesdays. And on Wednesday, they feed them, and we got to eat the same thing that they did, which was basically a scoop of rice. And they say it was fortified with some type of powder in there, and that was in the juice that's on top of it. And then they had one piece of meat, which was maybe a 2-inch square of beef. And they said that this is the only meat that these kids get all week. So when you think about our kids and what we waste in food, and here are these kids, and you have to go to church or you don't get fed that day. So they're trying to get more kids to participate. They had 150 kids at that feeding station that day, and about 40 of them go to school, and then the other ones don't get to go to school. They don't have that privilege. So they also have a water purification system that they started there, which I think would be awesome if our church could support, you know, maybe put another purification system there, because you can't drink the water in that area because of the volcanic ash and other ground problems. But that was one of the highlights of the trip for me. And just Carol, she's not here, but she was a blessing. We didn't know if she was going to go right up to the last minute on Tuesday before we went, because she had broken her arm in two places, had a metal plate put in and some pins. So she ended up going, and she was blessed by it also. Yeah. So, and I got to know a lot of these guys a little bit better too. You know, we've been together on some of the trips, but when you go out to dinner in the evening and you hang out, and you laugh till 1 in the morning, and you cry through the day. You know, it's an awesome trip. This time we got to do some different, you've seen in the pictures, we laid some block, we did some roofing, we did a lot of different things than we have in the past. So it's always a new adventure to see, you know, what has progressed at Ivan's at the orphanage too. Yeah.
Sarah's.
Yes, I am the first Sarah, or you can call me Salt. This was my fourth time down to Guatemala, and I just felt that this time, you know, you go down there to, like, bless these kids and bless the orphanage, but this time, like, I was the one getting blessed, because, you know, we have it so well here in America, and you can go down there, and, you know, these kids just bless you so much. And the first time that I went down, I was 16, and I was a sophomore in high school, and I was terrified. Like, I was so mad at my mom for making me go, even though I was with my sister, my dad, and my cousin. I was like, there's no way I'm getting on an airplane, going to some country. I have no idea where I'm going. I thought I was going to die, you know, get sick, catch some deadly disease. But here I am, and I'm going back. Next year will be my fifth time. And, I mean, it's like, seriously, it's better than vacation. Like, it's the best trip. You will be so blessed by these kids and the orphanage. And I just felt that I needed to, like, tell you guys, if you know, have that little thing in the back of your head, like, oh, maybe this is something I want to try, but you're, like, scared or something, I mean, come on, ask any of us. These kids, the orphanage, will change your life, and it's just a great experience. I mean, I met my best friend down there. I mean, I can't live without this girl. And these guys all up here, they're like my second family. Like, I love them all, and you'll get to know them really well. So I just felt like I needed to share that with you guys this morning. Thank you.
Sarah.
What? Oh, and Emily's dad, Rick, believes that Casa Angelina, the orphanage, is a castle. That's what he calls it. So come down to the castle with us next year.
All right, well, I'm Sarah, too, so you can call me Pepper. Like a lot of the others said, the kids really impact you. And I know the one girl that was down there, I'm going to probably start crying, but she would come up and each morning they come and they see us and they just come up to you and full embrace, and they've been through so much that nothing we can even imagine going through, and they're so full of love and they're so thankful to see just people coming down there and playing with them. And the one little girl, she found me like Tuesday. And she would come up and we'd play, and they play with your cameras and take pictures, and she'd wear my sunglasses. And every day after that, like, she would find me, and I would have to literally like force her to let go of me when it was time for them to go and time for us to work. And like everybody said, they impact your life. So it's a good, it's worth it. It's a good trip to go on.
Scott Monine.
I think this time the thing that struck me the most would have been there was a child psychiatrist there, and her name was Anita, and I don't know if you saw her in that picture, but we were talking to her, I guess, at lunch or whatever. Or no, she stood up and shared, mm-hmm. and she had just said that, you know, she's counseled all over and counseled these families all over, and I don't know if somebody shared this already last week, but the thing that she said was that she's never been in a place where these kids, and they've been through horrendous things, that they've been healed this quickly. And she said, I know that this place is anointed. I know that it is the Holy Spirit that is healing these kids. She said, I've been all over. She said, I've been visiting other orphanages. There's nothing like that around. Yeah. And so it was a huge testimony to us that that is such an anointed place, and that these kids that have been through horrendous things that she said usually last a whole lifetime, you know, that they're healed and they're well. Mm-hmm. And that was really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? The thing that struck me most down there was pretty much the same thing that I had talked about last year when I got back, and it's about building legacies. And I found myself the whole time down there praying, God, send my sons down here, you know, work in their hearts, send them there, send them anywhere, you know, help me teach them to live outside themselves. And my daughters too, you know, we just want our kids to really know that and to build that, because our legacy is not what we do down there. It's what our children and our children's children do. That's the legacy that we really want to build. And it's just an awesome thing. It's an awesome opportunity. And I would just pray every day that all of our children can just experience what we've been able to experience and really learn that. So.
Ken.
Yeah. First of all, how about that worship team this morning? Christy, that was powerful. And I say that because I was sitting by my Bible last night looking for some eloquent words to say today in anticipation. And I finally just said, Lord, I'll just wing it when I get there. And hopefully you're with me. And Christy was with me, because what you said today was a decision that I made. It's Howell's, Yo's fault. At Christmas Eve, I was at his house, and I saw this awesome TV set, and I just had to have one. And I had set aside money to go to Guatemala, but when I was told that it was going to cost us even a little bit more than I had set aside, I decided I was going to get this TV instead. And that Sunday morning, I told Mike that I just didn't have enough money to go, and he said, okay. And that afternoon, I went to Best or whatever over H. Gregg's and looked at TVs, and that night I sat in my study and I picked up my Bible, which happens to have a cover on it that has a poster of the team or the Guatemala kids. And I'm sitting there, I turned on the light and I leaned back and I go, I look at this Bible and I go, I'm going to Guatemala, aren't I? So with that being said, you know, just following my heart, that it was about worshiping him, because it wasn't about what I can do for me or what I didn't need another TV. My TV works fine. It's just Hal's fault. But, you know, we got to do a lot of different things this year, too, and I finally got into my element. I don't mind helping with the steel and the concrete and all that other good stuff, but I do cut hair for a living, and I got to cut 22 orphan girls' hairs on Thursday. And Friday morning we arrived early, and earlier than anybody else, and I heard from the top of the hill, Ken! And I looked around, and I didn't see anybody. And it could have just been the Lord saying, well, job, well done.
Mackenzie, you want to share? We'll give you a minute to think about it. It'll come back to you.
It was my first year going down to, and I didn't really know what to expect. But like a lot of the group has shared, I think it's a very humbling experience. I can relate to Ken with what he's saying that, you know, I struggle with idolizing materialistic things. And when you go down there and you see how blessed these people are, and they don't have anything like what we have, nothing even close. And it makes you just really appreciate what we do have. And I think as a father, too, it'll help me with parenting, with my children, to help them understand and realize that that's not all about what they get underneath the Christmas tree or anything like that. So I think I'm glad that I could bless and some of these people down there and be a help, but I'm also very thankful for what God has done in my life as an individual, and I think that's what I'll take with me the most.
Mm-hmm. This was my second time down. I think I went about 3 years ago, and a lot of things have changed, which is great. When I went down, we were doing our projects in the cafeteria that's there's now. And when I went down before, the kids were shipped out to go to school in the town, I guess. And now they have their own school there. The cafeteria is there, where they eat every day. Mm-hmm. You know, they're there all the time. So it was really great to see how far it's progressed in only 3 years. They put up probably at least 4 or 5 more houses. Mm-hmm. A lot of things have changed, and that's really great. They've come a long way. And like everyone said, the kids really touch your heart.
Mm-hmm. We have so much, and we have so much to be grateful for. And they are so happy. So happy, and they have nothing. So it's really a blessing to see that, and that we should be grateful for what we have.
Mm-hmm. When you get near the end, the worst part is mostly everybody says what your ideas were, but I'm going to say what I wrote down anyway. One of the things that blessed me the most this time, and I believe Sandy alluded to it, were two of the orphans that gave testimonies while we were there. It was Gabby and Sonia. Gabby's 15 years old. They're both beautiful girls. Sonia is 19. And they've been at the orphanage for several years. I'm not sure exactly how many years. But they both shared their testimony. And Yuri, who is the director there at the orphanage, interpreted it for us. And it just blessed my heart to hear how God has changed their life mm-hmm. by going to Casa Angelina. They told of some of the things and abuses that they had when they were living with their parents. And one, their parents had died, and one was alcoholic, the other trying to keep herself together with her brother. And it was just very, very touching. And just to see the girls grow and mature and be so happy and have are looking to the future. Gabby wants to be a vocalist. She's learning to sing, and she did sing a song there for us. Mm-hmm. And Sonia wants to be an interpreter. So an international interpreter. And so it's just wonderful. I guess 2007 was the first I went down, and I've seen these girls grow from mm-hmm. more like little girls into, you know, young adults. And the other thing, Heather talked a little bit about it too, is all the things have changed since I've been there in 2007. It's, you know, anybody that supports Casa Angelina, I'm here to tell you that it has really advanced and changed since I've gone there. Just a few things. The clinic was, I think, just starting up when I went, and now it has a full-time doctor and other staff, and the feeding center with a chef. Mm-hmm. If you go there, you get fed very well at lunchtime. And the school is there now instead of being bussed out. Playgrounds are there for the children that weren't there when I first went. I see the children growing and the children happy and grateful, and they have a deep love for the Lord. That also is such a blessing. They are being, Bethany and Andrew are down there now. That's Ivan's one daughter and her husband. And they're pastoring them and teaching them every day about the Lord. So they really have a deep love for the Lord. And I just want to thank everybody here for your support in prayer and in monetary gifts, and also for the team, the whole team, for taking their time to go. And I think everybody is really blessed by it. You think, oh gosh, you're going to go and help them, but you get blessed in return for giving to those that are less fortunate than you. So it was a great trip.
Go ahead, Mackenzie. No, he has lots of words. No, go ahead. This is Mackenzie's first time. First time? Go ahead. Was it what you thought it was going to be?
No, not really.
What ways was it different? Like when you showed up, did you think it was going to be?
I didn't think it was going to, the orphanage, I didn't think it was going to be really small.
Okay.
But it was bigger than I thought, and it was cooler than I thought.
What about when you first saw the kids? Like, what did you feel? Were you?
Well, the littler ones were like really, really cute.
Yeah. Yeah. Every morning when we gathered down by the feeding center, which was the cafeteria, the children would come down. I don't know if they were on their way to school. They would hang out with us for a while. Then we would go in and have devotions. That was new this year. They've never done that. So we saw the kids every day. They came down and greeted us for maybe 20, 30 minutes. So what was their school like? Was it?
It was cool to see how they did everything.
Yeah, they have the little schools. That's new since I was down. They've finished that. Yep. So it was different than what you thought.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of the whole thing? Do you have a favorite memory?
No.
No. There was one story that I'm thought for sure she'd share. I went into a tienda, which is a little store. One night on our way back from dinner, we stop at this little, our favorite store that we always, Mike loves the food there. But we go into this little tienda, it's just a little doorway, and you kind of work your way back, and there's this just a short lady there, and I wanted a Coke, and down there they sell Coke in glass bottles. I said, oh, there's nothing better than a glass bottle, ha-ha. You know, going back to the hotel, I wanted a glass bottle, and so she pointed a plastic, I said, no, that one. So she gets the glass. She says, do you want a straw? And Mackenzie's right next to me the whole time. I didn't know what was coming. She said, want a straw? Oh, yeah, a straw in there would be great. What did you see next? What happened?
She started pouring the Coke into a plastic bag.
She took not a plastic bag, but a piece of like cellophane plastic, you know, bundled it up like a little sack, you know, like the stork brings a baby in. Well, she just cut, it wasn't even a Ziploc, it was just a piece of plastic rolled up, and what did she do? She held the top, and what did they do? Somebody else?
Put the straw in.
She poured it in, then put the straw in and handed it to me. I got a bag of Coke at the tienda. Oh, where'd my bottle go? And so they don't want, they get money for the glass, so they kept the glass. They said, listen, I think if I would have drank it there, I could have had the glass bottle, but since somehow in the translation, she must have asked me, is it to go? And I went, oh, yeah. Into a plastic bag with a straw. There's pictures out there already on Facebook about that. And Mackenzie, instead of having sympathy, she laughed out loud, got her camera out, and everybody just started taking pictures. I thought the paparazzi found this. I mean, it was flashes everywhere, and that was her highlight. So it was a blessing for me. It was just such a blessing to have Mackenzie, her first trip down. Just a trooper, a very good traveler. Very good. very steady and sturdy. So I look forward to having you down again and traveling with us. You did a super job. She painted with me all week. Didn't we paint? So now you're going to help paint the house and do all that now that you learned. Mike, I think Emily wanted to share one last thing, and then we're going to let Mike share. He'll wrap it up.
Which one should I say?
So everybody's thinking of stories now that you went by.
Okay. Well, you said something about the psychiatrist, right? Okay. So I'm walking. We're getting ready to go out in the village. I think it was the first or second day.
First day, Monday.
First day, yeah. And this lady comes up to me, and she goes, "Are you Emily?" I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Oh, okay, I was told to talk to you." I was like, "Oh, okay, what about?" She's like, "I'm a child psychiatrist, and I heard you have some problems, and that I should talk to you." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "I heard you had a lot of problems that you need. I'm a certified psychiatrist." I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "No, I'm just messing with you. Pastor Steve told me to do that."
It was the first day. She says, I'm a doctor. I'm a psychiatrist from San Diego. And I said, "We have a teenager. You've got to talk to her." And I forgot all about it until Emily's going, "I'm going to get you."
It was a chair. Okay.
I didn't know what was going on either. I'm like, wow.
Do you want to tell the ice one? Or the chair one? Okay. Okay. And then real quick, another one. We were at this church, and it was a bilingual church. So they would speak in Spanish, and another person would speak in English, and they would, like, rotate. I don't know. Okay. So they were singing, and then we sat down. We're hearing the sermon, and there was this quiet moment, and, like, he was thinking about what he was going to say. And you hear this huge cracking noise, like something just exploded. And we look over, and my dad's on the floor with a broken plastic chair. So this chair broke right in the middle of the sermon, and he's sitting there. So all these people come over and start, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" He's like, yep, I'm good. He's slowly getting up. And he has this huge cut on his back, and it was hysterical. And then they're walking around in town, and someone comes up to him and goes, "Are you the guy from the church?" He's like, "Out of all the people that you see, how do you know that?"
Yeah, so the team got down early this week, and we're able to go to church on Sunday. So they left Saturday morning, we're able to attend church, a regular church services on Sunday. So, yeah, so be thankful. We have very sturdy chairs here. So, Rick, you're safe here.
I just wanted to say real quick, too, how blessed I was that Heather could go along this time.
Yeah.
And that really blesses my heart that she wanted to go.
Yeah, they all go together here. Yeah, daughter and, yeah.
Well, I want to thank the team. The team did a fabulous job. When we go down under City View Community Church, you can be proud that anybody is there does an excellent job. And we have a very good high standard at the orphanage. Steve gave me, he said, talk about something that since I've been down so many different times, and the team really hit everything that was pretty good of a highlight. Anybody that financially supports What Matters Ministry, you can be sure that your money is being spent wisely. And I didn't know Mel was going to touch on her last part. I knew she was going to touch about the girls, so it must be something I got to say about it, because now I was just going to wing it like Ken, because I didn't have anything to say, because the time was going to be running out. I know we couldn't have done this in 25 minutes. That's what Steve wanted us to do. He should practice some of his own teaching on his message. But anyway,
cut that. Yeah.
And I start writing down different things that have been done since I've been down there. And they're not in random order, because it just came to me when they came to me, but there's 7 houses that has been built. When I first went down here about 8 years ago, we were building the big building that we put the roof on. And we were digging the footers and putting the block in. And that was the only building that stood there, except where we came in the front entrance was where the guard booth was. And there was one section there where the guard stayed to protect the property and what we were with material. But now we have 7 houses on this property. We have a medical clinic. Mm-hmm. We have a school. Mm-hmm. We have a feeding center. We have a paved road. We used to walk up that road in the mud. Dave knows. Andrew knows. Mark knows. We had Mickey Mouse feet till we got to where we were working because the mud stuck fast to them, and they were like size 14s and 15s till we got to where we had to work. We have a paved road in the village that the orphanage put in so the people in the village wouldn't complain about all the traffic and the mud and the ruts.
That's true.
We have an electric fence that goes all the way around the property to protect it. We have a guard dog now, Blitz.
That's right.
They drilled wells. They we planted fruit trees. We have a backhoe, a batch plant, a skid loader. We have a pickup truck. We have two buses, two vans. Not only that, that we have to keep going. Now we have chefs. We have assistant chef. We have their workers. We have a medical doctor. We have nurse. We have the famous psychiatrist. We have two guards that go and protect the property at night on the lower section. We have Yuri, the director. We have Beth. We have Andrew that are pastors there. We have house parents, four or five house parents. Mm-hmm. So when you think about giving money, it just don't stop at just giving money. Now, all that, we still got to feed these people. We got the food to buy. And then we got the fuel for the vehicles and to move. And I missed the construction workers. I can't believe I missed that. There's six of them there every day, Monday through Friday. That's what keeps that house going that you saw with a block. When we leave, they keep building. That's money that Ivan has to spend every month. And he told me a year ago that like 1,000 people dropped out of his pledges that signed up to pledge. So when this church supports something, every time I go down, I see different things done. Your money isn't going in anybody's pocket. So when you support something, this is a good thing. This is my passion. You guys want to have a legacy? When you ain't here no more, they're going to say, you know, Steve Fox was a good guy. He went down and helped the orphans. He supported them. They're going to look, that's your legacy. That's what I want. I don't want to be anything about Mike Delp. I just want to be the person that uses the abilities you have inside of you and the money that God gives you and use it to the best ability. That's what we're all here for. There's many people here that need help. But when you go to a third world country, you'll find out some of them people can't get help. There is no help for them. Ancestral curses are handed down from generation to generation. And if we ain't there to cut them off, they keep happening. We're there to cut them off. Amen. Thanks for all your support. Mainly thanks for all your prayers. Because without the prayers, we couldn't have got our work done.
Yeah. Yep.
I appreciate every one of you here. Thank you.
Amen. 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 You guys can go back. Yeah, there's so many stories to be told, and there are many other pictures. Blitz is out there somewhere on Facebook. The 150-pound Rottweiler guard dog. Blitz, isn't that great? Ivan has a dog named Blitz, but you're not allowed to pet it. Team, if you guys want to come up, the music team, and I just want to say a few words as they're getting settled, and we're going to share communion together as we close our time. It's been said that the gospel is supposed to move. It's supposed to move, and that every local church should be engaged in the global mission. Now, do I think everybody should be a missionary? No. But we have three possibilities in relations to missions in the local church. We can be a goer, a sender, or we can just be disobedient. But I don't believe there's really any other option except those three. We can be a goer, a sender, or just plain out disobedient, where we would be someone who would say, you know what, missions just isn't my thing. I don't really think in terms of going and sending. You know what, my mission is the pro-life movement downtown at Human Life Service. That's it, period. Now, in light of Matthew 28, I don't believe that any Christian can say that. He says, go into the world. All authority I've given to you. That was a command that stretches out globally to us as a church. So to not be mindful of sending, supporting, being behind them, or out front going, those are the real options as it relates to mission. So, I'm either going to engage myself as you're, again, and not to separate these folks to say how special they are or how great they are and how we have to just listen to it and maybe someday, but to say that, listen, either we're engaged in going either long-term or short-term, or we're engaged in doing our light-shining work here and being sufficiently engaged in the prayer support and sending of those that do go. You know, we could say that there are, I am one of them that is behind. I am praying. I am supporting. I'm uplifting. I'm undergirding the team. When we're down there, we feel that. When others that go, when Chris goes to Mississippi and all the places that she goes, she feels the support of it. And the senders are needed just as much as the goers. And that's kind of how God has designed it to be. But so, when I say we should be missionaries, no, not everybody's called to be a missionary. Not everybody's called to be a goer, but we are all called to missions in some way. In some way. That's the King's command. So now, should we go on a short-term mission team trip? I think absolutely. I think everybody should do that. Short-term mission trip. I think, because as you heard here, a lot of them alluded to it, in America, we have, you know, we're relatively wealthy, mobile, and connected. And it's easy for us to leave and go somewhere and do something. Now, whether that's Joplin, whether that's Baltimore, or whether that's Kenya, Romania, or Guatemala. But we're able to do that. We can get visas to go. We can make time to do that. So I encourage, as families especially, make time, block out a week to do mission work. Even if it's going down the road, but get involved in it. So I don't want to just pick out a category of Christians and say they should do short-term missions. I think we all need to be engaged in it in some level. And I think one of the reasons is that we're a global church. And seeing the way church functions, seeing the way God functions in other cultures, it broadens us, it deepens us, and it gives us a bigger picture of God. It really does. And pray for these team members that are coming back in, that God continues to do that work, that the change continues to happen in them even as they come back into what we would call normal life. But the things God spoke, the broadening and the deepening that began there would continue. And that Emily would stop wearing those pants. I mean, that's a prayer concern I have. And Heather's got shoes on. Where are your slippers at? Heather's got... She's a little too comfortable here. But it does. It gives us a bigger picture of who God is. And one of the functions then of short-term missions are these things, more of God, learning to trust Him, learning how He works in other cultures and other venues and other outlets. And it's not just here in this area. We can get very insulated. And it's about taking risks and putting ourselves in those places, learning what missionary life is like to some extent. Those are all good for us. Because another vision behind this is that many, many, many long-term missionaries began with a short-term trip. And God used that to spark in them, to draw them, and to call them. Some of these folks we may send to the ends of the earth. And they may not come back in a week. They may not come back in 6 months. They're going long term. They're getting a one-way ticket and going. It's very, very different. But it happens a lot of times in these shorter trips. God puts the seeds there. So for the recruiting and inspiring of long-term missionaries, I think a short-term program is absolutely necessary. So as City View moves forward in the years to come, many, many, many more theaters of the world will open to us. Some of you say, well, Guatemala, Central America, I really have a passion for Europe or Asia or the Middle East. Those doors will be opening for us. Absolutely thrilled by it. Our hearts, and Mike, I love the way Mike refers to we. We have a bus. We have a guard dog. Like, well, what do you mean we? It's them, but it's become part of who he is and who they are, and I hear that on the team, and it's fantastic. So there's going to be many, many, many more theaters of missions open to us in the future, not just Guatemala, but also that our prayer would be that God would open our hearts to the theater of our own neighborhoods and our neighborhoods and our workplaces. We can be on mission. It's not just an event, it's a lifestyle. Okay. So the gospel is supposed to move, and we are its carriers. Amen. Amen.